Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Man, gloomy.
Quite.
I like it.
Chilly. Yeah. Like I'm trying to be positive about it.
I like a little gloom.
I started to say we're such bitchers. I'm a bitcher. I don't know about anyone else. I just don't like me. Like, just for example, 3 weeks ago, I'm like, well, it's 88 degrees. I want October. I want it to be like a high of 50 and rainy. Now it's here. I'm like, oh, it's so cold.
You are very much about the weather.
I am.
Like, really, truly.
I really am.
And you're not alone. Like, my father-in-law was exactly like that. He would watch the Weather Channel, like, totally into all of it and, you know, kind of the same way. It's just an interesting thing that... Yeah, and obviously Dave Murray, it's his whole life.
Yeah.
At least that's what he says.
Yeah, for me, it's not even so much. Like, I find the weather very interesting, and I can watch shows about the weather, but I'm not a nerd about it. It's just that it affects my mood so much.
I get you, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a thing than people ever understood.
Probably.
I mean, like, we understand it better now. Like, people probably felt it for generations, but now all of a sudden it's more of a... Oh, we actually understand that's a thing.
Yeah. I don't know if I have the seasonal affective disorder. My mom talked about it ad nauseum. I'm a little more like my mom than I'd like to believe. Like, my mom was a little bit Tony Soprano's mom.
Olivia.
Olivia. She's a little bit Olivia Soprano. And I think I'm a little bit Olivia Soprano, which I guess is a good thing in the grand scheme of things to be self-aware enough to see your foilables. But it also kind of sucks when you're like, ah, crap. I'm carrying that one on another generation.
Hey, at least you see it, and then you can make whatever decision you want to make from there.
Incremental gains, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do. Generational, family... Mm-hmm. Dysfunction. You just try to get the ball a couple yards down the field.
Yeah.
You can't go for a touchdown because you will fail.
So first down.
Yeah, that's one of the things about my life is that I really wanted to go for the touchdown. You know, my family's been like this for generations, but I'm going to be the one. And maybe I got a 15-yard gain. You know,
mm-hmm.
But then like life catches up and you're like, well, that didn't go quite the way I thought it would. I'm very existential in this gloomy weather.
Mm-hmm.
Man, how about that game last night?
Unreal.
We don't usually start the show talking about sports, but you don't usually
especially
have
not Cardinals, right?
18-inning games.
Dude, that's instant classic. You can run through that game and find 10, 12 things that are cool and unique and weird and they don't happen ever and they all happen in the same 18-inning game. It was a 6-hour and 40-minute game.
I honestly feel that's like insane. I need to go back. I watched until the 10th inning and it was like 10, 10, 15.
Yeah.
Dave's bedtime.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just stay up another 20 minutes. You can see whoever wins. I'm really glad I didn't.
You'd have been up with me.
I probably wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, Matt, Pauly, and I were texting late last night. We're like, I think we're the only ones awake.
Did you have any idea of how many people actually stayed in the stadium till the very end?
It was pretty full. It didn't change
it
much.
Full. That's
yeah,
cool.
It didn't change really? Very much. But well, it can, in LA, it's in LA. It's,
yeah, so 1 a.m. is only 11 p.m. for
yeah,
them.
It was. I want to say like 11:50 there when the game ended. Something like that. So yeah, because that was around. Yeah, that fits. I'm not good at 2 hours of math, but everything about it was phenomenal. Like it was. There's a lot of strategy. There were a lot of great defensive plays. Outfielders throwing people out on the bases. Infielders. Vlad Guerrero made a great play coming off the bag and then throwing a runner out at third on a play. But then it was also like it was the stars. But also this is the game where like the role players that you've never heard of before. Do weird, crazy things, right? You never heard, guarantee you 99% of baseball fans didn't know who Will Klein was. Will Klein's the winning pitcher last night. He had 22 innings in the regular season in his entire major league career coming into the playoffs. He had one inning in the playoffs before last night. He threw four shutout innings last night.
Wow.
And a reliever. Okay, this is a guy that throws 25, 30 pitches at a time, threw 75 pitches in four innings, and he was out there blowing 98, 99 miles an hour the whole time. Like a guy most people never heard of. Yeah, diehard baseball nerds have heard of the guy. But like most people haven't, and that's the guy that basically is the hero that left it to the point where Freddie Freeman could hit the walk-off homer in the 18th.
So what are the possible effects it has on the rest of the series?
Oh, I mean, so these next 2 days could be real chaos. Like you're both teams are going to try to rely heavily, I would think, on their starting pitcher. But that's only as good a strategy as the pitcher has quality, right? If a guy's struggling, you got to go get him. But both bullpens are completely worn down. Some guys didn't pitch very much yesterday. There were a bunch of guys that threw like eight pitches because you played it normally early.
Yeah.
And then later you're like, oh, running out of dudes. So the bullpens are definitely going to be taxed. You would think the players are going to be, the position players be a little tired because they just played two games and it finished, you know. What was it? I don't know what it was, like 16 hours before the next game's going to start. So, yeah, I would imagine that there's going to be. And here's the interesting thing. Like, Shohei Ohtani's pitching today. He was on base 9 times last night. He's stealing bases. Now, granted, 2 of those at-bats were jogs around the bases. He had home runs. But, I mean, he was on base 9 times last night. And now he's going to come back today and both pitch and hit. Can he go 6 or 7 innings? I don't know. He hadn't really done that much because he's coming off Tommy John. So it's going to be the whole thing's going to be interesting to see who's available, how available are they, and is it a more of an offensive game because the pitching's so worn down.
Rach, you know what is interesting about Brad Paisley singing the national anthem last night?
What's that?
The last time he sang the national anthem at a World Series was 2018 when they played 18 innings.
Whoa.
If you want a long game, call Brad Paisley.
Here's another interesting stat I saw on MLB.com. Ohtani's intentional walk total is 8 this postseason.
Yep.
That's tied with 2011 Albert Pujols for the second most in a postseason.
Yep. And the most is obviously Barry Bonds because everybody just walked him. Because as crazy as it sounds, and we know what he did, we know about the cream and the clear and, you know, HGH and steroids and all that stuff. But he was even 10 times better hitter than Shohei Ohtani's been.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, Ohtani's hitting 50 homers. He was hitting 70. And he was, like, on base 50% of the time and slugging 700. It was unbelievable. Like, if you go look at the numbers, and again, we all know the PEDs were a part of that. But if you go look at his numbers, you're just like, how did any human do that? And we all were just like, didn't, and nobody thought, I wonder what's going on here.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask, like, was the sentiment like, well, we all know what he's doing.
Well, I mean, for a lot of his career, yes, because his big power surge came kind of after we saw the Maguire and Sosa thing, and people were already starting to get suspicious around 98, 99. So, you know, in that time frame, there was a lot of buzz, but we didn't have the investigation, the Balco investigation. You didn't have it. He never failed a test. You know, it was never a case like that. But, like, here's the thing to keep in 2001, Barry Bonds was 36 years old. Which is old for a baseball player. And that was the year that he hit 73 home runs. And he was on base 51% of the time and slugged 863. Babe Ruth didn't do that. So, yeah, it was. It's crazy, but at his peak, he was even a better hitter than Ohtani was.
Hmm.
Or than Ohtani is. But again, one guy clearly did bad things with PEDs. We have no evidence whatsoever that anybody right now is being caught doing those things. So,
I heard they almost went through all their baseballs.
Yeah. I mean, you don't plan for this.
Yeah.
Nobody plan. And I'm sure they had people preparing baseballs in the back. Like, all right, get that mud. Because they use special kind of mud. And they, you know, rub them up and do all whatever. You know, I'm sure they had people, like, opening boxes and preparing more just in case.
Also, Rach, I was watching TikTok, waiting for the show. And there was a TikTok from a stranger, and they were behind home plate in 2006 for David Freeze's walk-off home run. And I watched it a couple times. I'm like, I have seen this video before. And I sent it to Wheeler. I'm like, I think someone's using your
game account on,
six.
Account on Twitter. A TikTok just ripped it off. No credit, no nothing. Yeah, no credit, no nothing. It was the account is called Coach Joe Baseball.
Name and shame.
Coach Joe Baseball. And again, look, I'm not a photographer or cameraman. I'm not monetizing that. I'm not getting ripped off or anything. But, man, people suck.
You just, better sleep with one eye open, Coach Joe.
Just give credit, you know? I mean, how hard would that be just to, hey, in the comments, this was on Twitter, at blah, blah, blah. Say, like yesterday, one of the biggest baseball podcasts picked it up, and they tweeted it themselves. But then they credited me. Nice. You know, at Kevin Wheeler 94. So that's cool. Like, that little shout out, that brings people that could be followers. They can get, you know, like, that's cool. That's like, you know, hey, I'm going to use this content, but here you go, buddy. Here's a little shout out. That's all it is.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I saw something weird this morning. I need a ruling. So I'm quite imaginative, and I love people watching, and I always make up stories for the people. So just know that going in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting ready to leave my house this morning. And I go out. I have the rental car. That's not a part of this story, but I don't know why I need that detail. But I still have my rental car. And so I'm warming it up, and I notice this car. And I live in a very neighborhoody neighborhood across from a park. And this car pulls up in front of me on the street and just sits there. So I'm just sitting there, you know, it's whatever. It's on the side of my house, not the front of my house. I don't think it has anything to do with me. And eventually, after maybe 2 minutes, this kid gets out, 22-ish, wearing sweats, a t-shirt, and flip-flops, which is kind of weird for, like, really cold morning and rainy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just kind of standing there looking suspicious. And right across the street in the park is a dumpster, you know, like your trash dumpster.
Oh.
And I'm like, uh-oh.
Somebody's dumping something.
Right. So, sure enough, he looks both ways, and he walks over there, and it looks like he has, like, a bottle wrapped in brown paper. And he puts it in there, and he comes walking back, and I'm still sitting there. Now I'm like Gladys Kravitz. Now I'm, you know, Columbo's on the case. And he looks at me and gives me this weird look and kind of gives me this weird wave and gets back in. Pretty weird, though, huh?
Did you go check and see what it was?
No, I didn't.
You could have solved the case.
I didn't want to be insane. So, pretty weird, though, huh?
That'd have been insane.
Sure, that is weird.
I'd have dived right in. I gotta know what's in that bag.
Oh, yeah. You're the...
Nosy.
Nosy.
Yeah.
That's pretty suspicious.
I mean, it's probably just some McDonald's.
I don't know. First thing in the morning.
And why would you be looking around, too?
Never seen him in the neighborhood.
He was, like, looking around, like...
Plus, it's literally raining. And you're wearing flip-flops. If you're just throwing away trash, just leave in your car to get to where you're going.
Yeah,
I can tell some of you don't have any experience hiding McDonald's from your wife.
Yeah, I saw someone post earlier, and they were like, my wife has found my bonus credit card and the empty Pizza Hut box. The jig is up.
I don't know why that hit me so hard, but that was hilarious.
Well, you don't know, driving around in the middle of the night looking for a place to dump your McDonald's crime evidence.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. It's like having a burner phone.
Uh-huh.
You know, Casey's still out there with the Sunshine Band.
Really?
He's a larger man than he was in the 70s.
He never stopped growing.
Oh, there he is.
He never stopped growing. He's 18 feet tall.
You know how sometimes I like to prove just how really dumb I am? So I could have Googled this, but it's much more fun if I just play it straight. So I realized last night I'm 61 years old, and I'm not completely sure whether it's Kit and Caboodle or Kit and Caboodle.
It's the first one.
It's the first one.
But what if the kittens are having a caboodle?
Then well, it would, that's, that's a
then it would be
thing.
The second one.
Yeah, no. Then it would be the second one. But that's very context specific.
How much
yeah.
fun does that sound? A kitten caboodle.
It does sound like fun, doesn't it?
Right?
It sounds like they're all just like jumping into like a pile of
yeah.
kitties and snuggling.
Oh, it
and
sounds like they're causing
fighting.
Trouble to me.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to have a DGS kitten caboodle. We'll just get in a pile.
Oh, man.
I wish I had another kitten, but Gigi wouldn't be a fan.
Have you tried it?
Yeah.
Did you lose a kitten?
we brought a cat home just
Gigi
for
had to
an
pull
evening.
Pull up to an abandoned dumpster. And, okay, sorry. That was dark. I'm sorry.
I mean, basically, we brought a kitten
really
home.
Be shocked though.
We brought a kitten home just for a night to see how Gigi would do with the kitten. It was very poor. Now I know you're supposed to give it more than a night. Obviously,
that's like you and your wife flirting with a girl in Vegas.
This one was like very clearly like this. Gigi was not having it, and you know, I did. The more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? I don't want Gigi to be miserable. I don't want her to spend the rest of her life unhappy because now there's like another cat in the house.
Well, you know, sometimes it takes a while to habituate.
Yeah,
yeah, I know, yeah. But I don't think it's for her.
Okay.
She's a very unsociable cat with anybody but the two of us.
What do you think your dogs would do with a cat?
So Lucy, who's the Shih Tzu, she would love it. She'd be great. It's like her little buddy. And my other dog, Artu's a jerk. He'd probably try to eat it. At first, he'd probably calm down eventually, but he's such a terror when he's on one of his runs.
Yeah.
He's got to be careful.
You make him sound like Napoleon.
I mean,
he
is a little bit.
You know,
he is.
Like,
hey,
you
listen.
Know who
when he's in one of his moods.
In my head, you know who he is? Danny DeVito.
I mean, he's a little meaner than Danny DeVito, but like it's the same idea. He's 13 pounds, and yeah, he's just basically he's aggressive.
I like it when Wheels.
Now he loves people. Like if you guys come over, he's gonna be all over you guys. He's gonna be happy. He loves you guys. But he's very competitive with other dogs unless he knows them, and he only knows like three or four. He likes our neighbor dogs, but only through the fence. And you know, I think he was a rescue though. We think that he was in a bad spot when he was a pup. Because like the first day we brought him home, he was 3.5 pounds, and he tried to take a bite out of our neighbor's German Shepherd. Like, bro, your lunch, stop it. We had to do months of training with him to get rid of a lot of that aggression, to get rid of a lot of his bad, you know, the biting behaviors and all that stuff. And he's fine. He's just old now, so now he's just grumpy.
Rich, were you going to say you like when Kevin talks about them like they're people?
I like when he calls.
They're the best.
I like when he calls R2 the boy.
He's the boy. That's how my wife and I refer to him. He's the boy. Hey, look at what the boy's doing.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Where do they sleep?
In bed with me. Mm. Yeah. It's a big bed. They're fine. They stay on one side usually.
Both of them?
Yeah, they're little. They're both 13 pounds, man. It's a king bed. There's room.
Yeah, what if they're stinky?
You have a king bed for you and two little dogs?
Yeah. What if they're stinky, though?
Yeah. What's that?
What if they're stinky, though? Dogs are stinky.
I don't care. I'm probably stinky, too.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yep. That's the setup. It's a pretty good setup, too. Not bad.
I would love for Gigi to sleep in the bed, but she is too difficult of a beast. For that, I'm too light a sleeper. I mean, she doesn't just lay down and stay there.
You act like she smokes and has bad credit.
she basically.
I can just picture Gigi in the middle of the night standing over Andrew going,
Andrew, wake up!
Yeah, she runs and jumps around all over the place, and I very much don't trust her not to like poop on the bed or something. She is not to be trusted with that stuff.
Oh man. So you guys just like, does she get locked out? Is that what she is at night?
Oh, yeah.
Does she get
no,
the rest of the house
she
to
herself? Is extremely not allowed in the
gotcha.
Bedroom.
All right.
And if she's being bad, she might have to spend the night in her bedroom.
Yeah.
Closed up.
That's fair, man. I mean, look.
If she's like getting into too much trouble and I don't trust her.
Yeah.
Nothing
yeah. wrong with that.
There, I mean, Lucy is very rarely naughty, but when she is, she just has to go in the bathroom for 5-10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just a little
What's
separation.
What's she do while she's in there?
Basically just meows to get out of there.
Yeah. Just sits at the door and yells at you.
Yeah. I would love to put a camera in Gigi's bedroom so that I could see what she does while she's in there. But I think it'd just make me sad because she's probably just like curled up next to the door waiting to come out.
Man, you're weird.
She's got her toys in there and stuff. She could do other stuff. She just...
Andrew's like, I feel so guilty.
Women, you know, can't live with them, can't live without them.
But you can't hide food from them.
Did she get? She gets to run around the house when you guys are gone, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't. I mean, that would make me sad if she was just in her room all day.
No, she only goes in her room when she's being bad.
Okay, that's fair.
And she needs a timeout.
Should have just done the Halloween show at his place.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 133. Happy Tuesday. Just sitting here on break, thinking, looking at myself on the stream, thinking, I just look crazy. We all look crazy. Like when we go on break, like, okay, there are three ways I go on break. One, I go to the bathroom. That's pretty often because I'm drinking an energy drink the whole show. The second one is I pace around the studio, walk behind everybody, look, see who you're texting, and and the third one is I just sit here. And when I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do next, and I'm looking at my notes and stuff. But I notice that if you don't know that, I just look like I'm sitting here creepily.
What if I just stared at the camera for the whole break?
Yeah, we all just kind of, it's almost like watching Billy Bob, the leader of the Showbiz Pizza Band, when he's turned off or something.
He's just like,
yeah. It's kind of go into a trance in the breaks. Shit, I wanted to talk about something. See, I spent all that time thinking about it.
Yeah.
Then I came back and,
dang it,
screwed. You know, I'm kind of sad. The whole East Wing being torn down and Trump putting up a giant ballroom he's going to name after himself, and the ballroom is bigger than the White House itself, and it just dwarfs it. It's nothing that I would like bring up at a happy hour. You know what I mean? Right. Like, can you please this son of a he's bigger than the East Wing?
Yeah.
But when Phoebe and I went to D.C. with the FBI a couple years ago, we went to the White House, and that's where we went. We went to the East Wing. So, like, that's my only experience with the White House is all that stuff I saw and all the pictures we took together, and it just kind of makes me sad. I think I'm way more of a preservationist, though, than I am a progressive when it comes to stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. Time moves on. You know, White House has been changed any number of times. If someone who you like's in the White House, you're probably like, right on, go ahead. And if someone you don't like, you're like, oh, that's so stupid. I'm intellectually honest enough to admit that. But it does make me kind of sad.
This has nothing to do with politics at all. I just don't understand why we need a ballroom there. I mean, isn't there ample room for hosting things already? Like, why do we? I don't understand why there's such a burning need for a ballroom of all things, especially to be built now during this time when everyone's having so many financial hardships.
It's such an interesting thing. That's a good point, Rach, because it's how many times does Hollywood get criticized for just the image of the Oscars when things are bad and everybody's all decked out in their $10,000 dresses and jewelry? It's the same idea to me. It's the same idea. I think they're both valid criticisms. I think it's a bad look when people are struggling. But it's also a group of people that won't even say out loud that people are struggling. They just ignore it like it's not real.
Yeah, I want D.C. to be beautiful. I want it to be intimidating. I want it to be impressive. I want the White House to be impressive. Having a ballroom doesn't seem weird to me. It seems weird to me to tear down the East Wing in 2 days, put up a ballroom bigger than the White House. Name it after yourself. Who names things after yourself? Name it the Reagan Ballroom or the Lincoln Ballroom or something like. What an amazing opportunity that you can name this thing that will be called that for the next 100 years.
Yeah. I honestly, and I know there are probably going to be people that don't believe it. Maybe you guys don't. I don't really care who is doing this. I wouldn't care. I'd be just as pissed off if it was Obama, Bush, Clinton. I don't care. Because the idea to me, as a normie, is that what purpose does a ballroom serve? To me, the ballroom serves just the super wealthy, influential class. It doesn't serve me.
Right.
And there's too much happening in D.C., and it's been going on forever, that doesn't serve me. That is a place being built by billionaires so that billionaires can hang out with the most powerful person on earth. And right now it's Donald Trump. In 10 years, it's going to be someone else. In 4 years, it's going to be something. Like, it's going to change.
It's going to change.
But that purpose is not going to change. It is always going to be for the privileged to get together, to make deals, to pass along influence, to do crap like that. That is not for my benefit or anyone else who's like me. That's why I hate it.
Yeah, well said. So for years on this show, I have been talking to my fellow citizens who are Christians and who believe this is a Christian nation and almost want a religious state.
Theocracy.
Theocracy. And I pointed out, like, hey, look, things are going to change, right? And what if we're no longer a majority Christian country? I have the numbers here. In 1980, 90% of the country were white Christians. Today, it's 62%. By 2070, they say it will be 46%. And they believe that by 2070, the predominant religion in the United States of America could be Islam. Every year, there are 100,000 more Muslims in the country. And every year, there are 2 million less Christians. So unless there's some event that happens that changes the course of that, 2070 is a long way away. I'm not going to be here, but it sounds like it's going to happen. So the logic is sound, right? Like, it's so easy to say, well, not in my lifetime, but in your great-grandchildren's lifetime, the United States of America could look completely different demographically, religiously. So unless you want a different religion than yours telling your great-grandkids how they're going to live, you might want to chill a little bit. Does that make sense? I mean, it makes total sense to me.
You don't want to set the... Oh, this is the problem, though, is that the mindset is never 60 years down the road, 20 years down the road. It's right now. Well, right now, we're in charge, right? Whoever is believing that, for whatever reason. Could be party, could be belief system, could be whatever. But they're not even going to worry about what's going to be if there's another case because they're like, well, A, we won't let it happen, or B, I'm going to be gone and I don't care. There's a lot of things that go into not caring about what it's going to look like 30, 40, 50 years down the road. And some people would argue, I'm not one of them because I'm not that far down a rabbit hole, but there are people who would argue that that's the whole point of any of this, is to consolidate power so that you never lose power no matter what the demographics are. I am definitely not down that rabbit hole. Just want to be clear. But I think it's, I don't know, man. It feels like the simplest thing in the world. And I believe, you guys can help me out here, believe it's called the Golden Rule. Basically, treat other people the way you want to be treated. I feel like that was kind of a real point of emphasis. And that's where I would like to see people operate.
I have one more political question. We'll kind of get them out of the way here because we don't talk about politics all that much in the show. Do you think that, because we're only about 8 months into the second Trump administration and he's, you know, balls to the wall and drinking out of a fire hose, do you think, is your gut that he's going to change the country in a real and permanent way?
I think he already has changed the country in a real and permanent way.
Yeah.
I think he did that in 2015. I just think having Donald Trump as the head of your political party changes the fabric of that political party kind of forever. And yeah, I think the country is much different than it was 10 years ago.
What if we zoom it out and make it not? I mean, it is. He's the boss. He's in charge. But he's not doing this without significant help and influence from significantly wealthy people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's true of all politics. I want to be clear. That's true of any Democratic Party winner, too. If you're running for president, you've got money behind you, right? But I put this on the rundown. So in 2016, the net worth of America's billionaires in total was $3 trillion. In 8 years since the laws were changed and tax codes were changed, in 8 years, that number is now $8 trillion. It has gone up almost 200% in 8 years. So I think we know that it's more than just one person that's helping push things in the direction that that things are going. And it is getting pushed up. I mean, we heard how many people during the pandemic essentially doubled their net worth. How many? I mean, so during some of the most difficult times that we've had in modern times, coming through the 2020 pandemic, even with that in there, the billionaire class has almost tripled their net worth in that time. That's who's pushing the buttons, man. Like, and not necessarily directly, right? And not even in a conspiratorial way. Where's that money come from to build a ballroom? And not, again, not just for this guy. That was true for the people supporting Kamala Harris. It was true for those that supported Hillary Clinton. The money is behind these things. Well, they're the one. That's why the money's behind these things, because the money people are the ones that benefit. Whether it's people on Wall Street or it's just the billionaire class, whatever it happens to be, how is any of that making any American, regular American's life better? That the richest people in the country have nearly tripled their worth in 8 years. How long would it take a regular working person to triple their net worth? Barring winning the lottery, 50 years, 20 years minimum. So we're not pushing a system that's meant to take care of the regular working class American system. It's being run from the top down, and there is no trickle down, man. When the wealth gets caught up by the wealthy, it stays there. Do you need more evidence than what we just looked at? This is an absolute verifiable fact. And if you're listening to this, you're not one of those people.
Hmm. Yeah, well said. All right, quick break. Right back, DGS. Happy Gloomy Tuesday. Welcome back, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS. We don't always get to talk about politics without someone being a jerk. I hope it's not us. I'm sure sometimes one of us will, you know, be on the edge of being a jerk or judgmental or something, but we really try not to be. But it is nice when you can talk about politics in a big group of people, which the DGS is, all of you, and just have people share their ideas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's, oh, yes.
Can't tell you how many times, and this is not like, I'm not Gandhi or something, I'm not special. I just, it was probably law school, that when I went to law school, just kind of straight off the farm, and didn't know much about anything, and was introduced to the Socratic method, and was introduced to the system of law that we have, where it's, you know, two people going against each other, trying to spin the facts within the ethics of the law, and trying to prevail on their ideas. And that really, really taught me, oh, you don't know everything, and you don't even know everything in the moment. You know, so many times that I would watch a mock trial or a real trial or a debate where when the first person went, I'm like, well, there you go. That's it. And then the second person went, I'm like, oh, crap, they knocked a few holes in that.
Right.
And so I always have been really very willing to move my positions. Because how stupid is that? If you take a position and then you get information that really shows you that your position is at least a little wrong, but you just will not move.
Yeah.
It's bad for you.
Yeah, I never understand like the things where it's like, oh, I'm going to debate this person. It's like, I'm rooting for this person in the debate. Well, okay. I mean, if you're just going into the situation planning on digging your heels in, why are you having the conversation in the first place? I don't under... That's not appealing to me. Like, no. I'm just going to go and I'm just going to not take in any new information and not listen to anyone and just wait for my turn to talk. And hopefully I just talk louder than the other person and it appears that I won. Like, I find stuff like that very boring and frustrating.
Yeah. You know where I'm not very reasonable is when you're having a real argument with someone, like what you, like what Andrew and Wheels had the other day about McDonald's. We've all had that with our significant other, kids, or things like that. And I fall just as victim as anyone to the, I'm arguing with Wheels, he's making his point, and I'm not even listening. I'm just thinking of my next point. Just shut up, Ginger, because when you're done, I'm going to lay you out. And
I think that's human, yeah.
Society's kind of become like that.
Yeah.
You know, where we're just, no one's really listening.
Well, because what you can do is you can run back to your group of whoever, and they will completely back you up. So the average person can avoid accountability in, like, most areas of life.
Well, I think, okay, the weirdest thing to me of where we are now is this crazy, crazy idea that to be a member of good standing to a political party, this has at least been my experience the last few years, you have to check every box.
Oh my God, yeah.
And that is just so completely unrealistic. Even with religion,
yeah,
which is truly religion, based on the worship of a God, which is based on a holy book, the people who are in that camp and believe in that God disagree vehemently about all sorts of things. They don't check all the same boxes. Christians and Catholics and Mormons and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But somehow that we have decided that when it comes to politics, a much less important thing than religion in many ways.
But treated basically the same.
Treated even more so, I think. I think people can put up with you disagreeing on their religion than with their political party.
Hmm.
And maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know, but as a 30-year sports guy, it is sports fandom is what we're seeing right now. You know, I was texting about this. It wasn't about politics. I was texting about this with Matt Pauly last night about a baseball thing related to the World Series. But it's funny how everybody who's a fan of the Houston Astros has no problem with the fact that they were caught cheating, doesn't care, no big deal. And the rest of the world's like, you guys are a bunch of cheaters. It's like, well, if my guys cheat and they get caught, well, we won anyway. I don't care. And that's kind of how the world is in general now. It's like, if my team does it, I don't care. It won't bother me. They're still my team. I love them. And if the other teams do it or any other team does it, like, they're the worst.
Yeah.
They're the cheatingest cheaters of all cheaters.
Well, like, I can't stand Donald Trump, but at the end of that last election, the way Biden was, it was very clear to me what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, I felt absolute zero compulsion to carry any water for that.
Mm-mm.
Just calling balls and strikes.
The easiest thing, I mean, I feel like I have the easiest position in the world, is I think the whole thing is jacked up. I think everybody's compromised. I don't believe a word any of them say. And I don't care what you say. Show me what you do. What are you doing for the 330-plus American citizens out there? What did I say? 330 million. Like I said, the million part. Like, that's what I care about. Show me what you're doing to make the lives of the people who live here better. Don't talk. Don't give me talking points. Don't do things for the special people that are already wealthy. They don't need your help. They're already good. What are you doing for everybody else? And I mean everybody else, not just the people that are on your team.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.